I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Give it to me.
Hey, everyone, I'm Molly Wood.
And I'm Tom Merritt.
And welcome to It's a Thing, the weekly podcast supported by you, which was the first ever podcast to feature our Thing technology, revolutionizing the game and podcast culture forever. Over three decades since its first release, It's a Thing remains true to its roots while earning its status as a staple for seasons to come. Thanks for joining us.
And wearing us on your feet.
And wearing us on your feet. That's right. Last week's episode comes right back around with the Air Force One, the Nike Air Force One.
Nice right circular on. Reference. Love it. Also love Air Force One.
As a follow-up, by the way, to last week, my son would like us all to know that I am an idiot. Air Force Ones are not the thing. Dunks are the thing. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to call it Nikes and we're going to move on.
Nikes, yeah. It's a collective thing.
Yes. But in his opinion, should you be about to email me, I have been informed.
You have been informed.
That if anything, it's Dunks.
My God.
I was like, whatever. Now to take him to SneakerCon. God.
Well, my dog is almost as old as your son, so
I'm gonna start asking her advice. His advice, rather.
His, yeah. So it's the boy. The
sorry,
boy dog.
His advice. Yeah. No,
I mean that. Ray would give you advice, but she's much younger.
It's true. So yours just the more experienced of the two.
Yeah.
And I think we can all agree has the best style.
Oh yeah, that one sock up on one of his feet. You know, the little white splosh.
Exactly. So looks amazing. Yeah. Looks amazing.
All right. I've been in a thing dry spell. I had to work for the things. There was a long period where the things just come. But, you know, sometimes you go through a little thing desert, probably related to the elections. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Like we may have been
sucked
paying
all the things out of the world.
But
I found a couple here that I think are pretty good. One is kelp/seaweed becoming a thing. More people getting into seaweed based recipes, eating kelp, eating seaweed, using the word kelp instead of seaweed to make it more palatable to people. And lots of these kind of seaweed snacks. One of my favorites, I can't remember what they're called, but they have a little shark on the bag. You get them at Whole Foods and they're just kind of like lightly salted dried seaweed. I think we're seeing a slowly rising thingness for kelp.
I love it. I love to see it. I mean, the little like seaweed snacks have been a big thing, but there is a lot of kelp and algae supplements. And I think you are exactly on trend with this. Like some people are using it as like, even like a protein replacement. There's a whole thing about how kelp and like different kinds of kelp can be part of a plant-based diet and replace protein. I think that might've been in that like weightlifting documentary with like Arnold and stuff about a plant-based diet.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The thing that that convinced me is this article from Tribune. I found it on MSN just a couple of days old. The wave of seaweed in the food world is making a delicious and nutritious splash.
There you go. It even has puns.
Beyond sushi roll wrappers, there is a sea of innovative products from snacks such as roasted seaweed, kelp popcorn, and jerky to kelp burgers, noodles, condiments, and seasonings.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Fascinating. Yep. 100%. And I think it's awesome. Like I'm super into this idea that there's a whole ocean full of foods and like vegetables and all this stuff that we just are not even considering. You know, we're like in this agriculture freak out and turns out there's massive food supplies. This is straying into
I thought eating seaweed sounded horrible growing up. Until the first time I had some, and I'm like, oh, that's not that bad. And now I love it.
Yeah.
Like
we snack on those.
It's good.
I mean, I, for like almost a decade, I put those little, Trader Joe's packs of the salty seaweed snacks.
Oh, yeah.
Went in my kids' lunch like almost every day.
Oh, smart.
It's California.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Like this and like a little avocado. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Amazing.
So yeah, it's not just the nori wrappers, although that's certainly part of it. Like, it seems like it's moving beyond that. So keep an eye out.
Yep, totally. Keep an eye out for algae. I can tell you I have seen some startups in this field as well. Like, one of them makes like a little cube that you can use in your smoothies. And oh, yeah, total thing. I'm trying to think of the name of the one that is like specifically a thing. I'll look it up during your next thing.
The kelp cube?
Algae.
Except you spell spirulina. Cube with a K. Oh, spirulina. Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Right. Okay.
Yeah. Which isn't, precisely a seaweed, but it's
more of an algae.
It still
is.
More of an algae.
Yeah. But still, it's kind of in the family. Yeah.
You could definitely crunch up some of those little yummy salty ones and sprinkle it on top of your elote.
Oh, and I bet people do.
And I bet people do, because people are doing all kinds of crazy stuff with corn right now.
Yeah.
I thought I had done this one even actually, but elote.
I think you've done corn, but not elote.
Maybe, yeah. Mexican street corn. And it's just, I'm starting to see it like in fancy restaurants, and I'm starting to see all these different variations of it. Like at its basic layer, it's blackened corn. And then you put crema and sour cream on it. And that crema. And then that cotija cheese, the yummy, salty, crumbly kind.
Crumbly kind, yep.
Some chili powder and some fresh cilantro, and that's it. But people are doing all kinds of elote hacks, if you will.
Like the ramen hacks.
Exactly. In fact, I'm going to duck elote hacks and see. Oh, yeah, look, there's an elote instant ramen instant noodle hack. There's a crossover.
Of course. Oh, wow. How does that work?
I should have known. But yeah, like people are turning it into chowder. There's an elote mac and cheese. It's just like,
mac and cheese makes perfect sense. Yeah.
It kind of does sound delicious actually. But yeah, I'm just starting to see elote pop up as a side dish, like everywhere. And I don't know why.
It's hard for me to tell if this is widening or not from being in Los Angeles, where elote is pretty common. But I'm through the searching, through the reaching our fingers out into the wider world. It certainly looks like it. Yeah. Cause you're getting all these results, right?
Yeah. And I'm definitely seeing it pop up more. The spruce, which is of course, as we know, the, source, the ground truth for all things.
One of the ground springs. Truth. Yeah.
The Spruce Eats, put up an elote recipe in December of last year. So I can imagine that has helped kick off the more and more growing. Afi James reports it's just barely starting to hit Chicago.
Okay.
I think it's just becoming like a fancy side, and I'm into it because it's delicious.
Yeah. I actually prefer this to a lot of other corn things. Weirdly, being someone who grew up in Southern Illinois, I don't love corn that much.
What? I was wondering why you seem so muted on this topic.
I think I overdid the corn. Like I met my lifetime maximum of corn at some point in my younger life. I also don't love corn on the cob because it gets stuck in your teeth and everything. What elote does though is it overcomes that barrier of like, corn, I don't know. Because it's like, corn, but also delicious.
Covered
corn,
in cheese.
Chili powder. So I almost look at it like a popsicle, like just lick the cheese off.
It pretty much is. And it is messy, and they have it at the county fair. Just like, it's so delicious. It's at delightedcooking.com in a piece that was just posted October 3rd.
And it's, in the United States anyway, a perfect marriage of our many cultural roots, right? Mm-hmm. The corn loving Midwest that I hail from and that you also hail from, never going to turn down a new way to eat corn, right? So it's almost shocking that it took this long.
It really actually is. Yeah. I think it probably has been a big deal in, the Southwest United States or in LA or whatever, but yeah, it's spreading and it's so good.
Good spot.
Thank you. That's it's a fun one.
Yeah. I like that one. I, in fact, immediately was thinking, if you didn't like cilantro, right? Because some people have the soap taste thing, you could do a little kelp.
I mean, totally could. Be totally good. Totally, I mean, I'm really, I'm trying to, we watched this show on Netflix that it was a Spanish language, like it was a Mexican food tour type show. And they went to a place, I mean, granted this was in Mexico, but they went to a place that had like every different kind of elote. It was like, here's one with like pulled pork and one, you know, like a sweet one. And I want to go to there.
Oh, before we get off of this, cause you brought up the ramen thing. I probably got sucked in through an Instagram ad. I'm not going to lie. But Momofuku, the famous noodle place in New York.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It is selling instant noodles now.
Stop it.
Momofuku branded instant noodles. They have a soy and green onion is their like most popular flavor. And then they have a spicy soy. And then they have a, what do they call it? Tingly chili. So it uses that numbing spice.
Yeah.
And yeah, they're air dried noodles, not fried. So they're little healthier than the ramen noodles you often get in the instant packs. And I bought some and they're great. The noodles boil up 3-4 minutes, just like any other ramen, but they're nice, chewy, delicious noodles. And they don't, Momofuku doesn't make the noodles. They found a place in Taiwan that they partnered with, that they're like, okay, these noodles are good enough, but then they make the sauce and it's not powder. It's a sauce, right? Mm. So you boil the noodles, drain off the water, put in the sauce, and in the green onions, you put in the dried green onions, stir it up, and it's delicious.
That sounds phenomenal.
It's not an ad either. I get nothing if you buy them.
No, he means it. Exactly. We're barely monetized, people. Like, that's not an ad.
I mean, it should be. It should be, but it's not. Yeah.
Because now I want it desperately. Yes, but... Ooh, good to know.
Yeah, Momofuku noodles. And they're not expensive. A pack comes with 5, and unlike some, they don't do the normal thing where the ramen pack is like 2 servings, wink, wink, because nobody, I mean, who does
that? Yeah, what is that? Yeah.
No, yes. It's one pack is 1 serving, and you get 5 packs in a you know, bag. Like you buy them by the 5-pack
basically. For $9, or you can get a variety pack.
Right.
I just found it on Amazon. I'm not saying I'm shopping. I'm only saying that, oh my God, these look incredible.
Yeah. This is not even a thing. This is just something I ad-libbed because we were talking about ramen and seaweed and elote. And
it's
just
a bonus. Yeah. It's a bonus. Mm-hmm.
All right. Here's my thing. Retrofuturism.
Oh my God. So totally yes.
Yeah.
And please go on.
So if retrofuturism
has a name.
It's basically taking old ways that people thought the future would be and then using that to make art now. So, you know, when you see something that's like, oh, that's in the 60s style of spacey stuff, that's retrofuturism.
Great.
And it's everywhere right now.
It's everywhere.
I've seen it in like video games, in posters, in like packaging of food. Yeah, it's all over the place.
Oh, that is so awesome. So like in the 60s, when everybody thought that the year 2000 would have all the flying cars and everything, they'd created a design aesthetic. And now people are going back and grabbing that and using it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's taking any old way of looking at the future and then using it now.
And now it now looks things. Like present/retro. That is so delightful.
Yeah.
I love that. I'm going to start looking for it everywhere. I might have to leave the house.
You will see it all over the place. Like some of it is even just kind of just you're seeing a retro packaging, say, and then they'll just have like a little one of their characters has a spacesuit on. But it's a 60s spacesuit, right? It's not the spacesuit they wear on the International Space Station. Yeah.
That's so awesome. I love it. And I'm just going to start saying that because it makes me like feel really fancy and sound really smart.
Retrofuturism.
That's so retro-future.
I love it.
Yeah. Would we say retro-futuristic?
Retro-futuristic. That's so retro. Yeah, that right. That sounds right.
Or should we say retro-futurist? Which I kind of like because it sounds like a little more pretentious.
I'm a retrofuturist. That's my job. Yeah, that's my. Yeah. I just decided now.
But the style is retrofuturistic.
Yeah.
I'm into it. You're like, and also I am one.
I am now a retro futurist. I will be predicting how things are now based on what we thought they were going
to be. Which is a totally retro thing to do.
Exactly.
Amazing.
In the future, we will have ways to instantly communicate around the world.
It won't always go great. Oh my God. Well, my second thing has been around for a while and is on the rise all over again in the wake of the elections. And that thing is Big Gretch. I did not know that for a couple of years now, everybody has been referring to the Michigan governor, Gretchen Whitmer, like a Detroit hip hop artist made a song about her called Big Gretch.
Oh, wow.
Legendary Detroit rapper Blade Icewood put out this like song. I'm just making sure that that's accurate, but like calling her Big Gretch. And evidently for like a couple of years, people in Michigan have been calling her Big Gretch. But now in the wake of the election, it's just like spread like wildfire all over TikTok. And so all these Gen Zs who went and voted for the first time, bless them, are like so excited. And they're making all these funny TikToks with the Big Gretch song. So much so that my son was like, oh my God, have you heard about Big Gretch?
Wow. It's all over. Yeah. Okay.
It's all right. Over. And it's just like, it's in support of her, you know, it's like, cause she's like so tough and almost got kidnapped and all this stuff. And they're just like Big Gretch.
So what you're saying is TikTok is in the pocket of Big Gretch.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
We blow the lid off it, people. That's amazing. So it's not just a candidate won and the people who voted for them are celebrating. It's like a thing. It's spread beyond the borders of its precinct.
Yeah, exactly. And like when and if this woman runs for president, this is, you know, she's like got a built in, because like there's not this kind of love.
That's a
for
good
politicians
thing to keep in my back pocket. Yeah,
that much anymore, you know. But yeah, Big Gretch.
Well, it's sounds like a cousin of Dark Brandon.
It does kind of. It does actually. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. Anyway,
I think
like,
that might be a meta thing, is like coming up with meme nicknames for your favorite candidate.
Maybe, totally.
Like De Sanctimonious.
That's probably true. Which, by the way, hilarious. Because say whatever else you will about love or hate him, he is that. Like, without question, he is sanctimonious as hell. That nickname is beautiful.
Or Cocaine Mitch.
Cocaine Mitch never gets old. Moscow Except, Mitch, I'll take it.
Yeah,
it is kind of a meta thing. But the ones that are positive are a little more unusual. So I think that's what I like about this one.
Yeah. Send us your favorite positives. I want to hear if there's any others out there that little undiscovered gems.
Do it. feedback@itsathing.me. Speaking of which.
Uh-huh.
How smooth are we at the segue? Let's get to your emails so you can tell us all of the other things that we either let you have or didn't see at all. Matt from Hudson, Ohio, producer Rich Note, the quaint capital of the state, wrote in with a new It thing for the holidays. Dear Tom and Molly, I had never heard of tree collars before last week when my wife announced she purchased one from her latest trip to Costco. I asked her what it was and she proceeded to tell me it's a choker for your Christmas tree to cover your tree stand. I said, what about the tree skirt? And she said, tree skirts are out. Tree collars are in.
Okay. All right. Good to know.
I didn't know, but obviously now I need this.
The tree skirt is like a wearing a corset.
I guess so.
It's old news.
Oh, you can get like a cute cedar box, like modern farm style.
Oh, there you go. Now you're in.
You could probably get one that says live, laugh, love on it.
Oh, you can.
Live, laugh, loveness. Oh, you can. So far, I've seen the ones that are like, it's the blah, blah family. You could literally get a custom one with your family name. Like,
yep.
Oh, wow.
Tree collars. Well done, Matt.
Well done.
I believe what Rich was trying to say is the capital of quaintness.
Yes. Totally.
Not the capital. Columbus is the capital of Ohio. But Hudson is the capital of being quaint in Ohio.
Being quaint. Yeah. Exactly.
Okay. I would never call Columbus quaint.
No. Don't be ridiculous.
Marlon wrote in with some Hakka knowledge. The whole Hakka thing about flying down a mountain is because the original founders of the company were trail runners who wanted a highly cushioned shoe that would allow them to run fast on the downhills while minimizing the pounding. I've been running ultras and marathons with them since the early 2010s and love them for the short cushioning when you are on your feet for 24 plus hours.
Jesus. Okay, well, Marlon, aside from you being functionally insane, great email. Good to know. And that actually makes perfect sense because running downhill is incredibly painful, or can be.
And makes the whole thing make perfect design sense, and why people would be like, well, I'm not running downhill, but I certainly want the cushioning for the feet, right?
Flying down a mountain. That's amazing. Yeah,
there we go. Thank you, Marlon. Yeah. You solved the mystery for us.
So good. You haven't solved the mystery of why people do ultramarathons, but good job, you buddy. That Charlie dude. Solve that one,
though. I'm just saying. I bet he can.
Yeah, probably. That Charlie dude wrote in on a new collectible. Hi to Mitch, Tom, Molly, and Rich. Have y'all talked about character backpacks, like the ones you can buy from Loungefly? These collector bags are pretty popular and come in tons of varieties. The discussion about collectible shoes made me think of them. So, funny story, Minnie's just turned 10, and she's super into all the Hello Kitty spinoffs, and her favorite character is Kurumi. And I got her the backpack.
Yeah.
So, can confirm.
Immediately think of Grogu, the child from The Mandalorian. That is the thing I have seen the most of, which is, you know, you're wearing the child on your back, but it's actually a backpack.
Yep. Yep.
But yeah, no, good spot, Charlie dude.
That's so good. And also I feel really on trend since I actually literally just bought one and had, like, you know, it has ears and stuff.
We didn't even have backpacks when I was a kid.
Really?
Like, yeah. Like
Kuromi.
Like elementary school, you just carried your books like an animal.
Come on. When did JanSport come around?
High school, junior high school for me.
Okay.
But I think it was, we didn't make elementary kids carry much. Like your books stayed at school, honestly, in the desk. So the only thing I carried really was the lunchbox and maybe a pencil case or something.
I mean, I think I probably just, maybe like a little brown bag with your stuff in it. Yeah. I just found a picture of this cute backpack and I'm putting it in. The Discord, because it's so freaking cute.
Fun. What is that? It looks like Kuromi. A jack in the box. Oh, that's Kuromi. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
From the Sanrio universe, the Hello Kitty universe.
Got it.
But my niece was like a little bit goth, so, you know, she had a darker version.
I like that.
So cute.
Mike wrote in on more chicken mania, and thank goodness, not a moment too soon. Hello, my brothers and sisters in thing. Bless you, Mike. Just in case you thought the fried chicken thing had calmed down, I thought I'd mention that Orlando's cock block continues to grow. I've included a link to the updated list of restaurants, and I'd like to point out that you can know by a shirt that allows you to check off the not comprehensive list as you partake in their deliciousness. You can buy a shirt to check off the chicken houses as you eat at them.
Oh, genius.
I don't think the podcast has a P.O. box, but if either of you'd like a shirt, I'd be happy to support the local retailer selling them. 11870 Santa Monica Boulevard, Suite 106551, Los Angeles, California, 90025. Mike?
Oh my God. Southern Biscuits and Righteous Chicken joining the cock block flock, says the headline at bungalower.com.
Also, like, the ability to get away with that as your man. Like, yeah. A bunch of chicken restaurants. What?
Well played. Well played. Well played, friends.
Oh my God.
Wow. Chicken. Fascinating. Great. Love it. Keep it coming.
Yeah. Thank you, Mike.
And keep the emails coming, of course. feedback@itsathing.me. You guys are the best. And now it is time for the other best, the best bestest, the shout outs. Yay!
Out with these shouts. If you are a patron, we thank you. If you're a patron at the highest level we offer, we extra thank you by including you in a textual exploration of your name.
Indeed. A custom, I have to sneeze. Well, that was inconvenient. A custom, carefully handcrafted, like, I mean, Rich spends a week thinking about this. He's got a notebook that I feel like is scribbled and stained with his own tears of ideas.
He has a degree, a college degree, put solely at your disposal.
For amazing shout outs. So thank you for your support. And today's shout outs are based on the start of Tira Samter Winslow's short story, Orchids, as printed in the November 1917 edition of The Smart Set.
I just figured out what I'm getting Rich for Christmas. Shall we then?
Let's begin. I'll do the last two.
Yeah. Okay. I'll start us off. Here we go. Gabriel Cohen had never had any orchids. Before she had married Kevin Sill, he had given her, occasionally, bunches of violets. Once in a while, the bunches of violets had a Morris Jones bud, or even Lee Price, in the heart of them, and came properly encased in glazed paper and a Benjamin Forrest's box, accompanied by violet-headed pins and delivered pompously by Eric Duncan.
Usually, however, the violets were purchased from a street Mike Aiken's and were already slightly withered by the time Miranda Janelle pinned them on her coat. Not that Andrew Bradley was any the less grateful for them. She loved them, even the withered Jake Woods. But now there were housekeeping expenses. Even a three-room apartment takes a lot of Louis St. Amour, and clothes for two, all out of Joe Hood's salary. Laura Abel was quite content and never even thought of the present dearth of violets and the total absence of James C. Smith.
See, folks? Look, some podcast out there is just going to be like, hey, this show is brought to you by Miranda James, Louis. No, we don't do that. Elevated the art. Rich elevated the art.
And what Rich has pointed out in our Discord, where you can also hang out with us live if you support the show at patreon.com/itsathing, is that a character in this story is named Tom Merritt.
One of the characters that was replaced by the... Why, that's hilarious. Yeah.
He chose it. Amazing. Awesome.
That is fantastic.
Yes. Well, thank you, everyone. Thank you.
What else can we tell you? We've got to go out and look for more things.
It's true, but keep your things coming, like I said. And may I remind you, you can become a member of It's a Thing. You can get our Discord access, chat with us live during our tapings, an ad-free RSS feed, and more. Patreon.com/It's a Thing.
You can also email us that email address once again, feedback@itsathing.me.
See you next week, friends.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.